Well, hello again, and welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad you're here today to study some more about angels and God's Word. Haven't we got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord? He is so wonderful and thoughtful and long-suffering, and He's gentle, and He is very, very, very kind to us. You talk about the Bible teaching us to be kindly affectioned toward one another. The Lord sure is an example of it, isn't He? He's been very, very, very kind to me. Too kind to... I don't give Him enough glory for it. Every time I think of some of the things that the Lord's done for me, it just strengthens my devotion and my allegiance to Him. How can you turn your back on somebody that has done such wonderful things for you? We walk by faith, brothers and sisters, not by sight. We don't see it now, but we will. But we will. The Bible says we will. It says we will see Him as He is. We will see Him as He is. Listen to this. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." The Bible says worshiping of angels. It's forbidden. And that's not what we're doing on this study. We are not worshiping angels. We're studying what God has said about them. That's a difference, big difference in that. We don't worship angels. And the Bible says that worshiping angels is intruding into the things that you haven't seen, and you vainly puffed up and flesh and have a fleshly mind whenever you start worshiping angels. It said that we shouldn't be doing that, and not to worship angels. And we know better than that anyway. We don't worship angels. We worship our Lord. He's the only one that's worthy of that, isn't He? Well, let's get into our study again today. It's going to take a few more lessons to finish out this study of angels. We're not studying it to finish it, but I just thought I'd let you know that. The last thing that we studied on our last lesson, and you probably know it better than I do, but was the ministry of angels on special occasions. For instance, they were present when the Lord created the earth. Angels were in Mount Sinai with Moses when Moses was there and participated in the giving of the law. Remember that? Over in Acts chapter 7, the Bible said, mentioned that. And an angel is going to bind and imprison Satan for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit and chain him up. And he's not going to be able to deceive anybody for 1,000 years. And then the Bible says he's going to be loosed for a season. And then we know what's going to happen after that. Okay? And that's after the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, angels were present and participated, are going to participate in the Lord's return at the rapture and the second advent. And the second advent. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. So we can trust in that. We can rest in it. We don't have to argue with people about it. We're not going to argue with people about it. That's what God's Word says. And that's what we're going to believe, period. Amen? That's easy. That's easy. The Lord said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Lord don't put stuff on us to walk around worrying about it and doubting it. He's not giving us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some of these Christians in Christian education that's supposed to have all this knowledge and wisdom and all this stuff in the scriptures and everything, and got all them letters behind their name and all that. I got nothing against that if it's sincere, but They got all this education, but it doesn't give God glory. And all they do is argue and fight amongst each other about what's right and what's wrong about God's Word. That don't even make sense to me. If I had a God that couldn't keep his word perfect, I mean every single letter, if he wasn't powerful to keep his word perfect and give it to me where I can read it and understand it and know his will, I wouldn't serve him. He couldn't save me. If he ain't got the power to keep his own word, what do you think of people on the earth that don't keep their own word? Do you trust them? If God couldn't keep his word with me, and I couldn't depend in it, and depend on it, and stake my soul on it, and stick my neck out for it, I wouldn't trust him for nothing. Would you? Our God can be trusted, because we do have God's word in written form that we can hold in our hand, that we can read, that we can understand, that we can cherish and love and depend on and stake our souls on. Yes, we do. The King James Bible. That's it. That's it. Now, don't argue with anybody about it. Don't get no fist fight with nobody about it. Don't debate it. If you got any kind of question in your mind, and I did for years, not because I wanted to, but because the devil was throwing it at me and all these other fellas was running around arguing about it. And I just wanted an answer from God. So I asked the Holy Ghost to show me which one it was. And he did. And I already knew it. But I asked him, and I'm settled. There ain't no way. Now, you do what you want to do, but all it's going to lead you to is confusion and fighting about something. You ask God, the Holy Ghost, what is his perfect word that you can depend on and you can trust for the rest of your life, and you can lay down in that body, and when that body goes to sleep, that you can go into eternity depending on. And you ask him, and when he gives you the answer, you stick by it, and don't you let nobody talk you out of it, ever. Amen? And then you'll have that peace that the Lord's talking about. And you'll have the Lord's yoke on you rather than the world's yoke. All this arguing and fighting, and it's a shame. It's a shame for Christians to fight among themselves, especially about their God's word. What do you think the world's looking at all these Christians fighting about God's word? They're thinking that, man, they ain't got much of a God. They don't even know what words he uses and what words he spoke, and they don't even know. All of them fighting about it. One says this, one says that, one says this. The Lord said we're supposed to be of the same mind. The same mind. That's what he said. I'm of the same mind. And I'm glad you're here and we're studying together. Today we're going to talk about, we talked about how the Lord angels were present and participate in the Lord's return, the second advent. And today we're going to talk about angels' appearances in the Old Testament. Now, we've talked a whole bunch about angels, and if we don't know by now, God's Word's not ashamed of them. And the Lord wanted us to know about them. I didn't know all this stuff was in the scriptures about angels, did you? But today, angels' appearances to Old Testament people. Now, there's just as many angels in the Old Testament as there are in the New Testament, and there's no difference in them. They had a reason, they have a purpose, and they serve God and do his will. And the things that we found out, that they're not just robots, that they are individuals, and that their appearances, what was that? Appearances. They can appear as men, physical men. I don't understand all that, but God says it is, and it is. Man thinks there's something to it because he makes all them stinking movies over in Hollywood about it going on, right? All that stuff they make in Hollywood's got all that stuff in it that the Bible talks about that's real. They just don't believe it because God has to do with it, because God said it. But it's okay. I don't know how come I'm getting off on this. More like preaching, ain't it? They'll get off on and worship all them actors over there that put on disappearing and appearing as things and appearing as this and appearing as that and this, that, and the other, but when it comes to the Lord and talking about what's real with Him and His power. They don't want nothing to do with that, do they? That's all right. That's okay. That's okay. The will is a free agent. You can will anything you want to will, but you're going to answer for it. And they're going to answer for theirs, too. Angels' appearances in the Old Testament, to Old Testament people, that is. Well, angels appeared to Abraham. We talked about that before, remember? Angels appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground." Remember, we talked about that whenever they were going to destroy Sodom, and the Lord, I don't think they was going to destroy it until the Lord said he was going over there to see if it was true about the evil that had been reported about it, and he was going to go check it out for himself. But he ended up staying there and having a conversation with Abraham and them two angels. I guess the Lord decided, because them other two angels that was with him, the Bible called them angels and it called them men, they left and went over to Sodom and got Lot out of there, drug him out. And when they got him out of there, the Lord rained fire and brimstone on that place and destroyed it, burnt everything up. And that's what the Bible says. But there were angels. They appeared to Abraham. They appeared to him. What else? Who else they appear to? Well, the angels appeared to Lot. We just talked about that. That's what the Bible says. It said in Genesis 19:1, it said, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even." Those were the two that were with the Lord. And when they were with the Lord, the Bible says, and he sat in the, and whenever we just read that scripture, we just got through reading before this one, talking about them appearing before Abraham, it said, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Okay, and then we move to Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, where the two angels are headed towards Sodom, and it calls them angels. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Angels appeared to Lot. And that's not all. Remember Hagar? Hagar's in the Old Testament. That was Hagar in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7. I'm trying to think of the name. That was the one that Sarah. Sarah couldn't have children, and she gave Abraham Hagar. Wasn't it Hagar? Yeah. And verse 16, and then Sarah put her out, and an angel appeared to her out there because she said she was going to die, and she didn't even have nothing, no water to give her son, and he was going to die too. So she put him down and went away from him so she didn't have to watch him die. And an angel appeared to her. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's handmaid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." And that's when Sarah put her out. But then she went back. And they patched things up, I guess, but angel appeared to her. God cared about her, too, and also told her that her son was going to be a great people, but he wasn't going to be what Abraham's son was going to be, his other son. Okay, that's not all. Jacob, we were just talking about him. Or talking about him now, that is. Genesis chapter 28, an angel appeared to Jacob. He not only appeared to Lot and Abraham and Hagar, but also in the Old Testament, an angel appeared to Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, the Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He's seen all kinds of angels ascending and descending on it. Jacob. Angels are not angels ain't in a closet until somebody accidentally finds them. Angels are everywhere. Angels are everywhere. They're invisible, though. And man can't manipulate them. If man could get a hold of an angel, rather than appreciating him for what he is in God's creation and what God says in the Word of God about him, he'd try to bind him up, put him in a cage, and put him in a circus and make money off of him, probably. Yeah. Angels aren't manipulated by man, by human beings either. That's not all. Jacob not only seen angels and entertained angels, but angels appeared to Moses. Now, you notice how we're walking through the scriptures? We started Abraham, Lot, Hagar, Jacob, and now we're to Moses. The Old Testament is not ashamed of angels. There's angels, God have been using angels since the beginning. They were there in creation, remember? Angels appeared to Moses. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And then we know that he turned and went over there to look at it and see to be able to tell a little bit more about it. And the Lord spoke to him, told him that he was on holy ground, take his shoes off. And that's when he hit the dirt and bowed. But an angel appeared before him. Now, we're going to get into this. You say, well, I thought that was God. We're going to get into that in another part of it as we go through this study. But right now, we're just talking about angels being seen by the people in the Old Testament. We're going to get into another part in the near future, if not this one, the next one, if not that one, the next one. But talking about the angel, capital A, angel of the Lord, where the Lord himself is called an angel and appeared. Okay? So don't let that throw you none. An angel appeared to Moses. If it was the Lord, it was still referred to as an angel. Okay? Both are true. Angels appeared to Moses. Angels not only appeared to Moses, but they appeared to Balaam. Remember that? We had that in a talked about that earlier. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 31, the Bible says, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. That was the angel that that donkey was smarter than Balaam was, and that donkey wasn't going no farther, no matter how many times Balaam hit him or hit her. I still can't believe that man had a conversation with a donkey, and he was so mad. He was so mad. That's like some of y'all. Y'all getting them fights and everything. Y'all fighting with one another, and you get so stinking mad that you don't even realize that you're fighting, or you forget what you're fighting about. You ever done that? Be fighting so long and so hard that both of you wore out, and then both of you stop, and you can't figure out what you started fighting about. I'm guilty. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Fell flat on his face. You'll notice in the scriptures, whenever the Bible talks about either the Lord Jesus Christ making an appearance, or some of the mostly the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'll notice that when he appears and makes an appearance, or that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that, but a lot in the Old Testament, that everybody falls flat on their face. They put their face in the dirt. That's a sign of extreme humility or extreme humbleness, where, I mean, you just can't get no farther down. That was what they had on their heart when they had when they got close to God. Some of these jokers today talk about God like they're swinging around a handkerchief, like they can control a handkerchief. They think they can control God like he's one of these stinking little puppets that you stick pins in and stuff, that they can control God like that. They got another thing coming, and they better rethink that thing. Because the Bible says everybody that ever met the Lord Jesus Christ or met the Lord or met the angel of the Lord, when it was the Lord, they put their face in the dirt. Said they fell on their face. That's what it says. And fell flat on his face. Getting down just as far as you can get down. Can't get down no farther. Yeah. And all these hot shots think they're just going to stand up there and just talk to God like he's one of their buddies. We'll see. It's like my pastor used to say about some of them drunks and some of the drug addicts who say, well, I'm going to leave early, Pastor. I think I whipped this thing and I'm all right and I'm going to be all right. And, you know, I can do it. We'll see. We'll see. That's what he used to say. We'll see. That'd make a good message, wouldn't it? We'll see. We'll see. Angels appeared to Balaam. They appeared to Joshua in the Old Testament. Not only Balaam, but Joshua also. When we get over in the book of Joshua in chapter 5, we see angels there. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua was a wise man. He's smarter than some of these knuckleheads that think that they can just talk to God any old way that they want to, huh? They're going to find out. I remember a fella told me one time, and it made me shake. He said, well, I remember one time I was mad at the Lord, and I looked up at him. I told him, said, Lord, you, as God, you come down here and I'll gouge your eyes out. That scared me for him. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua did so. Angels appeared to Joshua. Angels appeared to Joshua according to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, the Scriptures. The Bible says also that the angels appeared to all Israel, to all of Israel, in Judges chapter 2. Listen to what the Scriptures say. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with, be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now we know, of course, Gideon, the Lord gave him the victory over this, but Gideon was standing there talking to him. Talking to the angel of the Lord, asking him, well, where is the Lord if he is? Now, we believed in him and everything else, but where is he? These Midianites are fixing to wipe us out. And the Lord's forsaken us. And we know he hadn't forsaken Gideon because he gave him the victory. He was just going to narrow down his army and get the glory and show Gideon that he was fighting for him. Yeah. But to all Israel, Judges 2:1-4 there. And, of course, we read about Gideon, but it also said concerning him in Judges chapter 6, it also talks about him, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles? That's what we just got through reading, remember? Miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? That's what they used to tell him in the scriptures all the time. And the fathers used to say that the Lord brought him up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he knew the scriptures. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hand of the Midianites. Now, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 4, I got that a little backwards, but it was talking about Israel. It said, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Angel told them, or appeared before all Israel. And then we read about Gideon there. We're talking about the angels that appeared to people in the Old Testament. Now, a lot of these times, we're going to get into it in a future lesson, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think they call it Christophany, but it's the Lord, the Word, capital W, the Word, appearing, making an appearance. And the Bible refers to him as an angel. Jesus is a man that was born in flesh. Before the Lord was born in flesh, he was the Word. He was the Word of God. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's not all. Angels appeared to Manoah. Remember that? Judges chapter 13 and verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, that's Manoah's wife, and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And Manoah arose later on in verse 11. She went and told Manoah about it all, and then she seen that angel appear again. Manoah asked the Lord for him to appear again. He did, and Manoah arose, it says in verse 11, and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? He said, I am. And then we know that when they stood there and had that conversation and everything, that they were standing there, and they must have had a fire going or something, because that angel jumped in that fire and went right up with the flames and left. That'd been something to see right there, huh? Angels appeared to Manoah and his wife. That's not all. Who else in the Old Testament did angels appear to? Well, angels appeared to David, in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, The Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It's enough. Stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." And David, you know, of course, repented, and he had done these things and sinned against the Lord. That's why we got to be careful about our sin, brothers and sisters, because it might cost somebody else because of what we do. And it does, doesn't it? We got to be careful. And when we do sin, we are to confess it to the Lord right away and get that thing cleared up, where it doesn't develop into something else. Amen? That's not all. Angels appeared to Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Remember that? We talked about that. Angels appeared to Elijah. And then that must have been some good cooking, because whatever that angel cooked him twice and he ate, he was able to go 40 days on it. And that's 40 days of traveling. Angels appeared to Elijah. That's not all. Angels appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 21 and 22, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." The Lord protects us, doesn't he? And he uses angels to do it. We talked about that earlier. But they appeared to Daniel. They appeared to Elijah. They appeared to David. They appeared to Manoah. They appeared to Gideon. They appeared to all of Israel at once. To Joshua, to Balaam, to Moses, to Jacob, to Hagar, to Lot, and to Abraham. I mean, how many more we got to... They appeared to them. Angels are everywhere. They are part of God's. They are part of the Lord has had them around since creation. We don't know exactly when they were created. Whether it was before the creation that we know about, where God said in the beginning, that's when we start. Is in the beginning. That's where God shuts off. Where he wants us to know about. And we're not to go before in the beginning. Excuse me. That's not all. Daniel, the angels appeared to him and one other, Zechariah. Remember him? Zechariah chapter 2. And verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "I lift up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him." I mean, either, what do we got? I don't know, 10, 15 people in the Old Testament that we've just talked about right now. Now, they're either nuts, out of their mind, and on some kind of hallucinogenic drug that's making them think that they're seeing angels, like that fellow over in California said he's seen a 50-foot Jesus out in the water on the beach. Either they like that, or either everything that we're reading in the Scriptures that we believe about angels is true, and these fellows are telling the truth. I believe them, don't you? But they seen angels. We're talking about angels. That's not all. We talked about angels appearing to Old Testament people. Well, they also appeared to New Testament people. Even after the Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation, after his death, burial, and resurrection, we talked about angels all through that, how they were with the Lord, how they were with in and out with the apostles, with the women that assisted the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him. They were all in and out with them and talking with them. But they're all through the New Testament. Let's read some about that. Let's move into the New Testament and see some of them. Well, angels appeared to Zacharias. Zacharias. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 8 through 13, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. An angel announced John the Baptist to his father in the temple by the altar. And there's another instance where a priest that's serving in the priesthood for the Lord, burning incense, sees an angel and it scares him. And all these hot shots around here thinking if they see an angel, they're going to stand up there and just buddy-buddy with him. And, hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that Moses quaked and feared when he seen the Lord. It says his body, and when you talk about quaking, you're talking about more than just being scared and trembling. Said he quaked and trembled, and he feared. When he's talking about quaking, he's talking about your body shaking out of control, like you being zapped with some electricity or something, where you just shaking and boom, 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 just out of control. There's one fellow in the scriptures that says when he seen a hand, or I don't know if it was him, but one of them said they, how'd they put it? How'd the Lord put it? Anyway, he didn't have to go to the latrine after that. He messed himself. Yeah. That's being scared right there, ain't it? Angels. Who else in the New Testament? Angels appeared to Zacharias. They also appeared to Mary. Remember that? In Luke chapter 1, in verse 26 through 29, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And then, of course, the angel went on to tell her what the Lord wanted, and that he wanted to use her to bear his son and save the people from their sins. And Mary said, as the Lord wishes, so be it unto thine handmaid. And the angel said, okay. And he left. And she believed the Lord, and the Lord used her. And that's the extent of it. There's no such thing as Mariality worship and all that, and worship. You're not supposed to be worshiping Mary. Mary is a sinner just like us. She repented and accepted the Lord in the Old Testament, the righteousness, and she was in paradise, and now she's in heaven. But not because she had the Lord Jesus Christ. She was used of the Lord. What else? Angels appeared to the shepherds. To the shepherds in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. No, that's not Luke. It's Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They're some more afraid when they see these angels. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That includes us, praise the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. An angel called him Christ the Lord before he was named, before Jesus. He was born, but he hadn't been named yet. Isn't that neat? That's neat. The Lord's so perfect. But the shepherds seen angels. Who else? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, mentioned that just a minute ago, the women in the New Testament. All you women talking about how you so mistreated by the Lord and women got it so bad and this and the other. But there's so many women in the Scriptures that the Lord honored and used. Why don't you read that Bible and find out what God thinks about women? And quit looking at the world and what the world says about women. The world don't know anything about what God's women are supposed to be and how they're supposed to and how the Lord honors women. There's all kind of women that are honored in the Scriptures. And get away from that. Get away from the world's philosophy about what women are supposed to be and how this and that and the other. Get away from all that mess. It corrupts your mind. And get your thinking against the Scriptures and against God's will. Matthew chapter 28. Talking about women. And verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 6. Listen to this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. I mean, the first ones that got to see that the Lord was resurrected were women. How's that discrimination? How's that male chauvinism? God picked women to witness the first visual testimony of the Lord being gone out of the tomb. Women. The Lord honors women all through the Scriptures, and the angel honored them too. Because God sent him there to roll back the stone. He didn't roll it back so Jesus could get out. Jesus is already out. He rolled it back so them women could come in there and testify of it. Angels appeared to certain women. Angels appeared to Mary Magdalene. We just read that. She was there. But he appeared to her in other places. In the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 11 to 13, the Bible says, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And then, of course, we know that the Lord appeared to her from behind. She looked and thought that it was the gardener or the fellow that took care of the garden there. And he said, Mary. And she immediately recognized the Lord's voice and turned, ran over there to give him a hug. And he told her not to touch him right then because he'd not ascended yet. He was fixing to ascend to the, he said, I'm going to ascend to my God and your God. And he said, I'll be back. Go and tell the people, go and tell everybody to meet me at, what was it, Galilee or something? I don't know. To meet him somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was. I think it was up in that, I know my Bible, don't I? I get mixed up on some of these cities and stuff like that sometimes. But anyway, told her to go and tell everybody. And that he'd meet them, I think it's in Galilee, but to meet them in Galilee, he'd meet them and he'd be there to see them. And she went. But there's another woman. Did the Lord discriminate against her? No, he picked her before he even ascended. But an angel appeared to her, two of them, in that tomb. And she seen them. Angels appeared to certain women. They appeared to the shepherds. They appeared to Mary Magdalene. And they appeared to the apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the two angels were standing right there among them while they was looking at Jesus while he was ascending and spoke to them right there. They either did or they didn't. I say they did. I know they did. It's what the scripture says. Angels appeared to the apostles. Angels also appeared to Peter. Acts chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That was Peter and who was it? Silas? They appeared to Peter on several occasions. And the angels appeared to Philip, the evangelist. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Give him directions to get down there so he could meet that Ethiopian and win him to Jesus Christ. And he did. That's not all. In the New Testament, the angels appeared to Cornelius. That was right around the time that that's when the Lord was transferred. There was a transformation going on having to do with salvation, and it was switching over from the law to grace. And this was a major part of it right here because this is where the Jews found out that God included the Gentiles in salvation by grace. Through Cornelius, because he was praying to the Lord, and this is in Acts chapter 10, listen to this, in verse 1 through 4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. There's another one that's afraid, see, when an angel shows up, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God even hears people whenever they're trying to find out how to be saved. And the Lord used him. Used him to be a sign to the Jews that the Lord had included Gentiles in this thing of salvation, this new covenant, this new testament, this new gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel, the one that we're saved by. And speaking of Paul, angels appeared to him in Acts chapter 27 and verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Remember, he was on that ship, and he told them, Don't you leave here. And they left anyway, thinking they were going to beat the seas and beat the weather, and they didn't. And the Lord said, the ship's going to be tore all to pieces, he said, but everybody on the boat, everybody on the ship, now I think it was 200 and something people, and Paul told them, go ahead and eat and get you some strength, because we're fixing to have to abandon ship. And they did. But Paul, an angel, gave that message to Paul, remember? Acts chapter 27. That's not all. They appeared to Paul, they appeared to John. Angels appeared to John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Don't get no plainer than that, does it? And not only that, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, this is angels appeared to the seven churches. These are the descriptions of the churches that the Lord describes in the book of Revelation, actually four different times throughout the book of Revelation. But angels, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, listen to this. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen? And there we go. Wow. Lots of angels. Lots of people. I mean, that's enough for two handfuls right there, ain't it? We've been almost an hour now talking about angels that appeared to people in the Old Testament. Abraham, Lot, Hagar, Jacob, Moses, Balaam, Joshua, to all Israel at once, to Gideon, to Manoah, to David, to Elijah, to Daniel, to Zechariah. And if that's not enough, over in the New Testament, Zacharias, the Virgin Mary, the shepherds, and the women, more than one woman, there was two of them that was standing there and seen the two in the sepulcher, and then there was some other ones. So I think there was four or five of them that tore out to go to go tell. You put it all together, I think there was a pile of them. I think there was four or five of them. But to the apostles, to Peter, to Philip, Cornelius, and Paul, and to John, and then to the seven churches, angels. Now, like I said before, whenever we begin this, the Lord has told us that we are not to be we're not to let any man beguile us of your reward and a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels. We're not studying this study to worship angels. We're studying this study to find out what God wanted us to know about angels. He put all of this in His Word, so He doesn't mind us knowing it. And we're rightly dividing it, not wrongly, but rightly dividing it. And trying to find out exactly what the Lord's mind is and what He wants our mind to be concerning angels. And so far I haven't seen anywhere where we are to worship angels or that we've seen anybody worship angels. We've seen a lot of people be scared of them. And you can imagine if they're scared and frightened of the angels of God's creatures, God's creation of angels, you can imagine what it's going to be like when you see the Lord Himself. The Bible says, humble yourselves. And we are to be humble. On purpose. Because we're not to dare challenge the Lord or His authority or to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, the Scripture says. Let's be real careful about that. The world, the flesh, and the devil wants to raise our chin up and stick our head up high and walk around all straight and flaunty and hooty and all that kind of stuff, but God says that's all vanity. And we know that when we see the Lord, that we're going to be in love with Him because we're going to see the one that we worship that we haven't seen, that we didn't get to see, that we worship by faith and we love by faith. And we're going to get to see Him and we're going to know Him and we're going to be glad that we see Him. But one thing we're not going to be is haughty and like some of these dummies down here and idiots down here that think that they can talk to God any old way that they want to, and they can't. The Lord keeps good records, and He said that man's going to give account of every idle word. So let's be careful that we honor the Lord and that we give Him the respect and the glory that He deserves. Amen? But angels, they're all over the place. They're all over the place. And we've not seen one place where the Lord gave us the idea that anybody worshiped the angel. As a matter of fact, in several places I think we haven't read yet, there are places where men attempted to worship angels, but the angels resisted it and told them, no, don't worship me, worship God. And a true angel will do that. So we're going to stop right there. That's going to conclude our study of angels today. And let me give you these scriptures if you want. If you want to take them down. And we'll go into our next study after this. Here they are. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 12. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 22, verse 31. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Judges chapter 2, 1 through 4. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Judges chapter 13, verse 3 and 11. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16 and 17. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5. Daniel chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Luke chapter 1, verse 8 through 13. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, 2, 5, and 6. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 13. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Acts chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. And that's all the scriptures that we've been through today that have to do with people in the Old Testament, people in the New Testament that have seen angels, that angels appeared to. Angels are what? Angels are appearances. Remember that. Remember that. I mean, it's not real defined of how you say they're appearances, but if you keep that on the back burner, and as we study through all these angels and all the different stuff in the scriptures concerning angels, you'll see that appearances matches everything. You'll see. Okay, so we're going to stop right there, and I appreciate you and love you with Christ's love, and thank you so much for honoring the Lord. You have a wonderful evening and afternoon, and God bless you for studying God's Word. We'll get back into the study of angels on our next one, talk about fallen angels. Fallen angels. It's Brother Thurman. Talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.